I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks. This is Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose. You're listening to Monday Night Shaw on the Wing Column Sports Network. And my guest today is the second guest in the line of Women of Wrestling Month here on Monday Night Shaw. It is the masterpiece from the East, Alex Zwicker. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. What about yourself?
I'm actually doing pretty decent, you know. Like I say, I've been doing a lot of wrestling training recently, so I'm a bit achy. But other than that, I'm feeling really good and happy and, like, spry, you know what I mean?
It's a good achy.
Yeah, it's like, it's energetic, you know? I'm always down to, like, go and do more. Like,
right.
I'm feeling good. I've got some shows this weekend. Are you going to be wrestling in RCW this weekend?
This weekend, no. The shoot job keeps kind of messing up my schedule. We were supposed to do, like, I was supposed to start getting, like, the weekends off so then I could obviously commit to those bookings every weekend. And then things just got a little confuffled. The manager went away and somebody else was doing the schedule and just kind of wires got crossed. So I'm actually... I think my boss is back this week, so I'm going to talk to her and then just kind of build around being able to kind of commit to those shows every weekend. So
solid.
Yeah.
So people know it is July the 23rd today. So the shows I'm talking about will be the one Friday night fights and Saturday night fights this weekend in Calgary and Edmonton on the 24th and the 25th. So. Yeah, just as a general reminder to everyone, RCW is doing weekly shows now, every Friday in Calgary, every Saturday in Edmonton. So if you love wrestling, and especially live wrestling, and you live in those areas, it's going on, so check it out.
And if not, have a little road trip.
Yeah, there you go. 100%. It's got to be the only live entertainment going on right now, what with all the coronavirus stuff going on and stuff. Like,
that's another thing
is we are taking precautions, eh? Sorry.
Right. Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, I'm just actually so happy that we were able to kind of get back on the road and do shows because it was just so much uncertainty. And it's like, are we going to get to wrestle? It's bad enough. Like, corona took away so many things and took away sports. And, like, you can't take away all my wrestling for too long, too. So.
Oh, yeah. It was that 3 months was killer on me. I hated that.
Right?
Yeah. It was absolutely awful. No wrestling. No, like, all I did was sit around my house and just stew in depression because there's nothing to do.
I kind of was, like, mixed emotions. I, at first, was like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. Like, I just got laid off from work, and my tour's canceled, and, they took away all my sports and all the things I love. Like, oh, my gosh. And I actually was able to use the free time that I had really productively. So, I did kind of have a nervous breakdown when I went back to work because it was like, oh, my gosh, my new routine that I've been trying to hammer out forever is now gone. Just trying to, I don't want to say find a balance because I don't really know if that's actually a thing, but.
That seems accurate to me. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Like, yeah, it's especially like, I mean, your shoot job is something that probably got shut down by coronavirus as well, eh?
Yeah, it did, but I was still able to kind of like work part-time a little bit at the same time. So they kind of shut down in-house, but we're still doing some other things.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely had like a reduced schedule. But yeah, once we went back and actually opened up, I worked for like 30 some odd days straight between my two positions. And yeah, it's just been crazy, like with wrestling starting back up and trying to like figure out a schedule where I'm able to like make it to training a little bit here and there and still make some shows.
Yeah, and I remember you came to sorry.
Oh yeah, no problem.
I just was gonna say I remember you came and you sat in on some training at Top Talent Wrestling Academy. It was good to see you there.
Yeah, it was nice. Did the whole night, that one Monday night there, the beginner and the advanced class, and it was just so nice to get together and work around. So yeah, it was cool. Just trying to, like I said, just trying to figure out a way that my schedule will allow me to kind of accommodate everything. So working on it.
100%. So how long have you actually been wrestling for?
I think it's going on like 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
My fifth or sixth kind of season, I guess you could say.
Nice. Yeah. You started off in the Maritimes, right?
I did start off in the Maritimes, yeah.
So can you just talk about how your initial training went, who you were working with and that kind of stuff, and then, you know, give us a little rundown on the early parts of your career?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm initially originally from Nova Scotia, and just grew up loving wrestling. Had an older brother, big wrestling fan. We just used to watch wrestling all the time and beat each other up and just loved it. And just never really thought about being a pro wrestler. It was always one of those silly, unattainable dreams that you just don't go for, because it's like, how am I supposed to do that? And then I ended up getting involved with kind of the local scene in Halifax in the summer of 2014, if I'm not mistaken, and just was able to get my foot in the door and be a manager for one of the local guys. And through doing a couple shows there, I had met a group of guys that were coming down from St. John, New Brunswick, and kind of started going up and doing shows with them, managing one of their guys up there. And
oh, really? So you've wrestled in Newfoundland?
No, St. John, New Brunswick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought St. John was in Newfoundland. Is there two St. John's?
Yeah. So, like I said, I met the guys from St. John, New Brunswick there after my first couple shows, and they kind of offered for me to go up and work for Vision Pro Wrestling, a promotion that they had running right there in St. John. And it was kind of funny because I'd go up and I had, like I said, a managerial role with a worker up there. And then, of course, I like started training a little bit before shows that I'd go up. Like, I'd spend the 5 hours driving up from Halifax and train a bit before the show and get the ring up and all that fun stuff. And then it was always like, oh, you should just move here. And so for the first like 6 months that I trained, that was kind of like the running joke was like, oh, so when you move in here, you're here like every month, like you should just move here. And then it was summer of 2014 that I started doing those local shows in Halifax, and then I would have met them shortly after. So then for that first year that I just trained kind of on and off here and there, it actually ended up September 2015 moving to St. John, New Brunswick, and training for like 6 solid months with Jeff Durning. He wrestles as Dick Durning, and I was up there, and I also was trained by Adam Kraft. They were trained by Wayne Kreiderman out in Ontario, and just worked super hard for a few solid months there and just trained a couple hours a night for like multiple nights a week, and then ended up getting offered my first booking in Halifax February 27th of 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And worked some local shows between like Halifax and just a few spots around. There was a promotion, UCW, that did some kind of smaller tours, and worked in Moncton and whatever dates that in different towns that IHW would run as well. So worked on the Maritimes on that circuit for a couple of years, and then I ended up moving out to Alberta last September.
What sparked your move to Alberta?
I feel like you already know the story, but I actually went to the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion in Las Vegas 2 years ago in the spring.
I feel like I do know this story, so I hope I shouldn't. This isn't something I shouldn't have asked you, but
that's okay. It's cool. I ended up going to the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion and with some kind of wrestling family from the East Coast, and ended up meeting some workers from kind of out this way, and of course fell in love with one of them and moved out here for him.
Oh, okay. Solid.
That's how I got here, friend.
I did not know that. All right. Well, is that the same guy that you're like still currently involved with?
It's a big old mess. I don't even know if we should get into that.
Oh, okay.
But I was going to say, it's a whole big, long story.
Fair enough. Can I ask you who you wrestled in your first match and how did that go?
I actually wrestled Madison Miles in my first match and it went okay. She had been training kind of a similar time frame as me. She just had a bit more experience than me going in. She got to do a tour with Caitlin Diamond and just work a bunch of shows. She had debuted a few months before me, and she just ended up getting a bit more experience there. So, yeah, but it went all right. It was, mistakes were made, things were learned.
First match that I'm pretty sure, like, most of the wrestlers that I've talked to, and definitely from myself as well, like, the first match is usually not, like, a fantastic match, you know what I mean? It's usually kind of a cluster.
That's okay. It is what it is, as we say.
Madison Miles, I know she actually has come out here for the CWE and done some of those CWE tours, and yeah. I'm pretty sure you've been on some of those too. But like, I've announced for Danny Duggan a couple of times on a few of his shows in Alberta, yeah. And stuff, but I've never done like the full tour or anything. But that's something that you have done, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I was gonna say, yeah, the first long tour for Danny that I did was with Madison. We were on the whole thing, and then we ended up going to Vegas and CAC, and just, yeah, it was a crazy, oh my gosh, what, 5-6 weeks of time. It was pretty wild.
And but, how did you adapt to that? Like, I mean, that's gonna be pretty hard on your body, wrestling like basically every night for a month.
Literally every night for a month, dude. Like, oh my gosh, until I had done those tours, I'd never wrestled for more than like four days in a row. So almost like a week when you think about like traveling. Remember there was a couple tours I did back home that were a little bit further away. So it'd be like gone and on the road for 5 or 6 days, but like doing four shows. So yeah, it's a lot. It's very mentally draining, and it has its like physical challenges, and it's just so hard when you're like a tumbleweed blowing in the wind, like on the road, driving from town to town, setting up a ring every day. It's oh my gosh, it's insane. But yeah. It's amazing. Like, I will do every single one until he won't let me do them anymore, because I just it's such an experience. And yeah,
I mean, I think that like even though like there's a lot of adversity, and I know that like on CWE tours, like they're notorious for like travel snafus, like their ring truck breaking down, and you know, sometimes like I think what it was, a Brutus the Barber Beefcake just kind of like got fed up and left one time. He's... and like just like stuff like it's a weird thing, and all the props go to Danny for holding it together. And like,
right?
When Brutus decided he was going to fuck off, he, you know, Danny went and got like somebody else to come in, and that guy was like way better, you know? So,
well, when you think about just when you're having one show, all the things that could potentially go wrong and the mm-hmm. stress it could induce, and then you compile that and you just compound that, and it's 30 some odd days in a row and tens of like so many kilometers, like I don't even know how many kilometers, like oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
Oh, even just
vehicles and people bailing and people, like it's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there was a documentary released about one of the CWE tours,
yeah,
on like CBC or something, and it was
it's on Amazon Prime as well, just in case anybody wants to watch it.
Do you know what the actual name of it is? Because I mean I remember it, but vaguely. So
I'm just going to go on to my Amazon Prime right now, so I'm just going to minimize you for a second, friend, sure. And I'll let you know. I can't remember. It's the tour with Jake. I just have to actually it tripped me out. I had gone on Amazon Prime one day, and it was just like, oh my gosh, Danny, AJ, what are you doing? Ah, because I knew it was coming out and it was a thing, but I didn't know it was going to be on my Amazon Prime. It was just like, oh my gosh. where is it? I don't hear very much, so I'm like, oh, I don't know what list it was in. Ah, I can't remember. But if you just went on Amazon Prime and you probably looked for CW, I guess I could do that right now. Turkey, just get all excited.
It was a good documentary though, and it was very in depth about like, because like he's running a full tour, but he's doing it on an indie like shoestring budget, right? Like it's actually quite amazing that they're able to pull it off, because like Danny doesn't have WWE or TNA or AEW like money coming in, and right. You know, like even like you're watching it and like one of the guys, I guess, just like, just, you know, like I say, people are just leaving because they're fed up or they're too sore or whatever, you know, and then, and Danny's just able to deal with it and make for good shows anyway, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy the amount of things that just, we always end up recovering from it somehow, like, of all the, like, oh my gosh, things are crazy. We need this piece for the ring. We lost this thing. We've left this at this venue. This vehicle broke down. This person canceled. These guys aren't coming. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
The show always goes on. It's never, even when you think it's so close and it's like, there's just so many things. Like, this venue lady doesn't want to let us in. And, like, just all these crazy things. And you don't think the show's going to happen. And it still always happens.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, like, stuff like that all happens in RCW and like, other promotions that I've wrestled for as well, but it's, like, with those, it's, like, a one-day thing, so, yeah, you can easily, like, you got that headache that one day, and then you figure it out, and it's, like, oh, phew, great, but with Danny, it's gotta be, like, ah, figured out today's headache, what's tomorrow's gonna be?
Dude, there's been times, like, there's been issues with vehicles or like people needing to get picked up or something, like any crazy thing that could happen, like wrestling House of Cards. And like people have not slept and driven like crazy amounts of distances through the night to like fix things and make sure shit was right for the next day. Like, yeah. It's insane.
Well, I mean, I even remember when they did the tour here with Brutus. That's the one that I went and helped in Grand Prairie on.
Yeah,
and I drove up with a couple of the fellows from Japan, and I took Justin Locke and I took Roy Flash Gordon.
Yes,
and we all went up to Grand Prairie, and then after the show, the Japanese fellows, like, they left with somebody else to go stay at the hotel, and then me and Roy and Justin went and we stayed at Spaceman Barry Grayson's house. And then the next morning, we all just assumed, oh, the Japanese guys that went to the hotel, they've got to ride with somebody else. So me and Roy and Justin, and so, like, it wasn't just me assuming this. Roy and Justin were in on it, too. We're, like, 2 hours outside of Grand Prairie. We got up at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning and started hightailing it for Red Deer. And then I got a call, like, 2 hours into the drive. Hey, when are you going to pick up those Japanese fellas from the hotel? And I was just like, oh no. Oh no. Yeah, it was one of those things, but like I say, like, I guess they crammed the two Japanese fellas got crammed into Danny's car with about seven other wrestlers and all their gear, and we met up somewhere down the road, and yeah, and it was a long day. And
yes,
I felt horrible, but you know, it was just a communication.
Again, it is what it is, friend.
Yeah. And I mean, we got to the show in time.
There
we,
you go.
We literally pulled up to the show in Red Deer. Me and these, because at the point where we met and the Japanese fellas jumped in with me is when Roy and Justin jumped in with Brutus and the fellow that was driving the ring truck. So they all left, and then I took, it was just me and the three Japanese fellows, which was an interesting long car ride because none of them spoke English. So it was just me and them. So we drove to Red Deer, got there like 5 minutes before bell time. You know, Roy comes out and he says to one of the Japanese guys that he's wrestling, he's like, yes, same match last night, okay? And the guy's like nodding at him like, yes, okay, cool. And then I go in and I'm like ring announcing this show. So I get like the information for the first match and just immediately put my shit on, go to the ring, announce the first match, and then come back and get the rest of the information for the show, you know? But I mean, if you watched the show in Red Deer, like, you would be able to tell.
I was at my friend.
You probably were.
I think I was. I think that was the first time I ever worked for Danny. Because that was the Brutus tour. But I'm pretty sure that was the first show I ever did for Danny.
Oh, wow.
Because then a couple days later, I think it was, I don't remember what day the Red Deer show was. Then I just remember a couple days later, he had asked me to work in Golden. And I was like, heck yeah, never been to BC. Let's go. And then we went and worked in Golden. So yeah, I think that was my first show for Danny, actually.
Have you ever
done? So that probably would have been the first time I met you.
Probably, yeah. I mean, unless maybe if you've done some CWE shows, CWC, Dylan Stones Federation.
Oh, yeah, I did work for them when I first got out here, so maybe we did meet there. But, hey, it would have been...
probably met there, but I never worked any of those shows. I always just, like, if I was at those shows, I was there as kind of a fan.
Yeah.
The only CWC shows I worked were the ones after, they got bought out and merged with Squig. So,
okay.
But we probably met because I still, like, being someone that was sort of around the business, always made a point that even if it was just a show I sat as a fan, I would always walk up to the guys that were out there and shake hands and be like, hi, I'm Kyle or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Well, maybe Red Deer CWE was the first show we worked together then.
Yeah. But have you ever done any of the Northern tours for Tony Condello?
No, I haven't worked for Condello.
No.
I'm not. I've heard many stories of the more road struggles and just crazy, crazy things involved with Condello tours, but I have not had the privilege of working one myself yet.
Solid. And have you had the opportunity to venture down into the States and do any dates down there or anything?
I've done a couple. When I was still back home, I had gone to Maine a couple times because it was just so close to kind of the border there. I could just kind of scoot along. And then I had worked at CAC. I did the two shows at CAC last year in Vegas. And then I think the first day of the CAC shows, we also kind of, I think we worked that first show and then we scooted across town and then we worked at this comic convention. It was really cool. It was called Level Up. And it was just like such a cool experience. Just with all the other things that were going on and then going and being part of the show that was kind of taking place at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds like that'd be right up my alley, something.
Right? Oh, dude.
Probably, like, got all kinds of, like, video games and crazy, like, old movies for sale and stuff.
It was amazing. I was just like, oh, my gosh, I know we don't have much time, but, like, can I stay and just, like, take in this a little bit before we have to go back to the hotel and do more CAC things? Because it was such a cool experience. But, yeah, I'd love to wrestle more in the States, obviously. Now with everything with this pandemic and borders still being closed between here in the States and whatnot, it makes it a little trickier.
Since there's any more international dates in anyone's future.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's so unfortunate.
How did you get around to going to the Cauliflower Alley Club and being part of their shows and stuff? Did they contact you and ask you to come, or did you just show up with your gear and be like, hey, I'm here, do you want to use me? Like, how does that work?
Well, some of the wrestling fam from back home had gone for a couple years prior to me kind of joining in and starting to go. So I just kind of, when they had got back, because it's usually late April, early May, usually the last weekend in April, if I'm not mistaken. So when they had got back from there, I'm trying to remember what year that would have been. I'll never get there, so I'm just going to blow right by it. But when they had got back from CAC one year, and they were just so jacked and so excited and just, like, so high off their experience that they had, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to CAC with you next year. And the first year I went, I was kind of just, like, along for the ride. Obviously, like, I networked and I met people and I made connections. I explored and I did things and all of that nature. But I didn't work the shows or anything like that. And I think it was either at the end of the kind of festivities, my first year of CAC, or somewhere between the time that we had gone back for the next year. Just between some of the connections that, like, some of the wrestling fan that I had went, that were kind of working the shows there, was just kind of able to hop right on and just kind of get in closer with the people that actually book the shows and have a little more pull with the shows at CAC. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's solid. It is one of those things where a lot of times, like, I know it's even happened to me just because, like, when I was living with Squig, like, I'd get booked on shows just because I'd go with Squig. Like, you know, like there was one in Lethbridge, a PPW show. Squig was booked on it, and he just like said to Sydney, I mean, Sydney was one of the RCW guys anyway.
Yeah.
Steele, who is the promoter, and Squig was like, oh yeah, can Goose come? And Sydney Steele was like, yeah, Goose can be in the Battle Royal, sure.
Heck yeah.
So I got booked on that, and then the actually my first ever match that I ever had was the same situation. It was an LLPW show up in Bonnyville.
Yes, okay, I worked for them.
Yeah, you were probably there, to be honest.
If I was, friend, yes.
I wrestled Steven Styles and Epic Eddie Rude, yes, in a three-way match. It was my first match of all time. And I was booked to be at the show to, like, ref or whatever. But I had been in training for, like, a month, maybe a month and a half. I don't know. Not long enough that I should have been in the ring. But, you know, it was just one of those things where they were like, oh, it's a real small town, and if you're going to get out there and get a taste for it anywhere,
right,
it's probably better that it's not in a major metropolitan place for a really well-established promotion. Like, if you're going to shit the bed, now's the time to do it, you know?
But, like, what a cool thing, hey? Like, just, like, you feel like it was a minimal amount of time and a minimal amount of, not, I don't want to say effort, but, like, you had been training for a little while, but you'd also put the effort in and you prioritized your time and you were at shows and you helped set up the ring and you know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah,
it's just cool how sometimes, like, seemingly little things that you're doing compound into something that gets you a really amazing opportunity. So,
yeah, like you mentioned, you were an announcer a manager for a long time. Well, I was an announcer for a long time.
Right.
And I, like you, I just never believed I could be a wrestler. It just never, I was like, oh yeah, that's an impossible thing that, you know, only like superstars and like crazy, right, like superhero people can do. And then one day it was like, oh no, if you put in effort, you can do it. It just requires effort. So put in effort.
And that's,
that's what I did. And sooner or later I got in the ring and
there you go.
You know, and now I'm continuing to put in effort because I you know, I want to be good at it, you know, right, and not just like, you know, somewhat passable, but actually like somebody that people come to shows and are like, oh yeah, when this guy hits the ring, like you're in for a good time, you know?
Dude, well, I can just say one thing about like behind the curtain, like your energy is so great. Your attitude is always so good. So like you've got a lot of good things in your corner there. So,
well, I think that it's incredibly important, like, for everybody to just be cool to each other anyway. Like, we're all here wrestling because we enjoy it and want to have a good time. I mean, I don't think anyone is in RCW because it's like lucrative and they're making a lot of money at it, you know? So like, if we're all here to have a good time and entertain people, then there's not really any call for being a dickhead backstage. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Yeah. All right. So, so with your CWE tours and stuff, that all happening and you getting to travel basically across Canada, can you tell us, like, can you tell me, like, what's your favorite place to wrestle?
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh, there's a couple that I don't know. I think I have some sentimental attachments to a few places, but favorite place to I really like Grand Prairie. I just remember, I think, again, it's probably because I have an emotional attachment to my first experience there, so maybe it's a lie. I just remember, I'm pretty sure that first show we ever did there, no, maybe that was the second one. I just remember the crowd is always really super just amazing there, like the whole town. Yeah.
Like they get wrestling like once every 10 years, right?
It's so exciting. Like just their energy, it's so amazing. And I think, like I said, the first show, I'm pretty sure they had a really good turnout. And just, I remember having just like a lot of fun just working the crowd and just getting some reactions out of them. And they were just like on fire all night. And I think the second time we went there, the ring was super late and we all were like geared up and we killed like an hour or two of time because the ring didn't get there until like 8 o'clock. And we had like the fastest setup ever in gear in front of the fans. And again, like we were talking about, the show went on.
That's crazy.
So, but yeah, I just like every time we go there, I feel like it's just such a good experience. And I just love entertaining that crowd. They're just so much fun.
One of the things I really enjoyed about the Grand Prairie show, at least the one that Brutus was on, was it took place on Halloween night.
Ooh.
So there was fans in costume and stuff. Yeah. So that really added to it.
Oh, they have a really amazing pizza. That's another reason I look forward to going to Grand Prairie, is they have a really stellar pizza place there. I think it's Romano's. It's magical.
Oh, is that where they did the after parties?
Yes. Go to Romano's and get some pizza for yourself. It's amazing.
Nice. Did you ever have the opportunity to, like, I know that WWE was recently in Winnipeg, and I know, like, Taryn and Zoe and Travis Cole and Danny and some other people were on that show. Did you ever have the opportunity to be an extra on a WWE production or anything like that?
I did not. It's not something I ever really sought out, I'm sure. I kind of have a list of things that I would like to do, and one of the things on said list are like make a profile on the WWE website, just to have it out there. But it's definitely something I might consider going forward for sure, because if I don't do it, it could be one of those things that's like, oh dang, I wish I did that, so I should probably just do that.
Yeah.
Have an opportunity through my trainer when I was still living in St. John. We were supposed to go and do this like kind of angle and like be Rosebuds or something, but it was at the time they were kind of like phasing out the Rosebuds and like Rosa was kind of coming in, so there's something happening there, and maybe some other factor that I'm forgetting because it was like 5 years ago that we ended up not going. I think we were supposed to go to Ontario or something. There was a crew of like four or five of us that were supposed to go. So I almost did, but yeah, thanks for putting that kind of in the forefront for me there. That's something I will think about a little bit more and maybe partake in going forward in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine how cool it would be, even to be like, you know, part of the conga line or the Rosebuds or something, but just to walk out through the stage and like look at all the people there and, you know. Especially if you do well or whatever, and you don't like ruin the spots or whatnot, you know, like, and I mean, that's gotta be an incredibly like cool thing. I asked Zoe about it last week and she actually had forgotten. Like when I brought it up to her, she was like, oh yeah, I did do that, didn't I? I was like, I was flabbergasted by that response, but
yeah,
it was, I can only imagine. And I mean, like someone like you who is fairly well put together and stuff. I mean, I can see that opportunity coming for you if you're seeking it out for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So you've had the opportunity to wrestle for a few companies around Alberta now, Real Canadian Wrestling, Prairie Wrestling Alliance, and Canadian Wrestling Coalition, and then CWE, Danny's promotion. Did you ever work for PPW in Lethbridge or Monster Pro Wrestling?
I didn't work for Monster Pro, but I did do a couple shows up in Lethbridge.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Did you wrestle with Angelica?
I did. I can't remember if we actually worked in Lethbridge specifically, but I know she had come down to Red Deer and potentially maybe in one of the cities, maybe in Calgary or Edmonton. We had the opportunity to work together a couple times.
Solid. How did you enjoy that?
I loved working with her.
Nice. Who are some of your other favorite women around here that you enjoy working with?
I had a couple fun matches with Zoe last summer. A couple good memories there. It was last summer. A couple shows for Danny that we had done.
Nice.
Just some crazy reactions and just fun moments and just funny little almost jokes between the two of us. I definitely had a couple fun matches with her there, and I also really like wrestling Kat Von Hees as well.
Oh yeah, Kat Von Hees is a powerhouse. I've actually like done a little bit of training with her, and I was like, wow, like, wow, like.
I know, dude.
Sometimes like the guys are taking it more easy on me than Kat Von Hees does. Like, it's crazy. Like, she's just so powerful and stuff. She's an amazing wrestler. I'd really like to have her on my podcast here and be part of this Women of Wrestling Month.
For sure. Yes, you should give her a call. She is she's amazing.
Yeah, she's been around for a long time too. And
right, she's so experienced and she's just such a gem. Like in and out of the ring, like I just can't say enough. So yeah, get her on your podcast, yo.
I will absolutely try and get in touch with her. You actually, like I say, like you were with PWA and then you transitioned to RCW. Can you just maybe talk a little bit about what brought about that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't feel like there's any reason to like sugarcoat it, so I'm just gonna go on the shoot here.
That's okay.
It was just a situation of PWA wanting kind of like exclusivity from me in regards to working in Calgary and Edmonton, and that's just not what I'm about. I'm an independent contractor and I'm going to work where I want, and I'm not going to let anybody tell me I can't. No disrespect, but I tried to compromise and I tried to do everything I absolutely could. I communicated. I feel like I did my part. And I made the decision I made, and I'm totally fine with it. Yeah, so that's that, friend.
that's fair. Like, I get where you're coming from. I find, like, sometimes, like, I think there's both positives and negatives to there being that, like, line in the sand. Like, if you work for RCW, then you can't work for PWA in Calgary and Edmonton, and you can't work for Monster Pro in Calgary. Well, actually, you know what? Right now with RCW, Kid Cyrus has been wrestling with us in Calgary.
Right.
He hasn't been doing Edmonton because I think that's like, I think Monster Pro guys are now like, I think they're kind of, I don't know if they're allowed to work Calgary or not, or if Kid Cyrus is just being like, hey, I'm working Calgary now, so deal with it. You know,
even just the fact that you said allowed makes my blood boil. Like, I get so heated on the topic.
Yeah.
It's foolish. Like, there's ways that that we can all work together so that, no, you know what I mean? Like, it's just everybody being so selfish almost.
And I mean, I kind of understand from the promoters' perspectives because they've all got like, I mean, and I'm not trying to bury anyone here. I'm just saying that all the promoters have egos, and like I've talked to Tex Gain, I've talked to Squig, they both like admitted it, they all have egos and they're all gonna try and like undercut each other. So I kind of understand why, like, if you're working for one, they don't want you to go and show up on the other guy's show and get like completely buried, or
right, you know, and I get,
you know,
that
they
too.
Don't want their promotion to look bad by something you did
right.
For another promotion.
There's a way to do it that like everybody can almost win. I hate to be like the silly positive, like, oh, we can figure it out person. But seriously, like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but like, I've seen like promoters say, like, when people from other companies or other markets or what have you show up, and said promoter will say, hey, is there anything going on there that we can help you get over here?
Yeah, so that's good.
Like, hello, that's amazing. Why can't everybody be like that? Like,
100%.
That's,
like,
that's okay.
You and I feel bad. I
can't formulate a thought because I get so heated about the whole, like, if you work for him, you can't work for me.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, and it's weird because out in BC, like, I just finished BC month and they were like, yeah, no, that's not a thing that happens here. Like, if.
Right?
We use all the good workers on all the shows, and that's how it goes. And I mean, they still use, you know, like, that's a part of the part of like why I think it is kind of a bit of an advantage, because, you know, if you're just using all the top guys on all the shows, great, then all the shows are good wrestling shows, but you're not gonna really create a lot of opportunities for those wrestlers that are not fantastic yet, or the younger people, like they won't get those opportunities to become better, you know?
For sure.
So like I can understand it from that point of view. The only real time I ever had any kind of like issue at all was the clandestine society show. I was asked to be a part of that because I started training with Force Pro Wrestling. I got permission from Squig to do so.
Right.
And I started doing it under Michael Richard Blaze at Force Pro Wrestling and doing the training. And he was talking about the clandestine thing that he was putting together. It wasn't, you know, Tex Gaines wasn't putting it together. Kurt Sorokin was not putting it together. This was Michael Richard Blaze's baby, right? And he asked me to if I would.
Hello, friends, family, and wrestling fans. Pardon the interruption, but this is Spencer Love, your host of Conversations with Love, right here on the WCSN. Join me twice a week as I sit down for a one-on-one conversation with some of the best of the best of the professional wrestling scene. Tune in every Wednesday and Friday right here on the Win Column Sports Network. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Do what you gotta do, Kyle, but, you know, we'll see what the consequences are. And it was like, whatever. And then I talked to MRB about it, and he talked to Squig about it. I ended up doing it, and then it just seemed to get better for me after that. I don't know. Like, I mean, I know a part of it was probably like I was in this big cluster fuck match, which was literally what the name of the match was. It was like a cluster fuck. Like, it was like some sort of weird Royal Rumble where everybody's eliminated in pinfall and submission. And I actually won the match. It was like the first match I ever won as the Canadian Goose. And the finish was I punched Tex Gaines in the face and pin him, right? And I knew the whole time, I was like, because Tex told me too, he was like, legitimately shoot punch me in the face. And I was like, well, what? But then I was like, okay. And then I was thought to myself, I was like, the harder I sock him, the less likely it is that Squig will fire me. So I blasted the shit out of him. Poor guy. Like, yeah, poor Tex had like this mark on his face for like 3 weeks. Yeah, but he told me to do it, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very Fight Club. I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
Exactly what it was like. And in my mind, it was like, okay. And then I was like, the harder I hit him, the happier Squig's going to be. And the happier Squig is, the less likely I'm going to get fired from RCW. And sure enough, you know, like it was very shortly after that, like Squig actually started kind of pushing me in RCW. And yeah. It was a lot of fun. Have you had the opportunity to like win any championship gold or anything like that?
I have not. I've been in a couple title matches, but never actually sealed the deal there.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that after you win a belt, because like,
heck yeah.
When I won my tag team championships, that was a huge moment in my career, big time. You feel pretty legitimized at that point where you're like, oh, wow, they're, you know, like, I'm actually, like, now for the rest of my career, I can be like, I'm a former tag champion, you know?
There you go.
It's cool.
I would love to do more tag stuff.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to talk to you about is there is, like, a finite amount of women wrestlers in Alberta and in basically, in, like, there's not as many women wrestlers out there as there is men, so... Do you find that you're being booked a lot to wrestle against men in like intergender matches? And how do you find wrestling in intergender matches?
I'm not booked in intergender matches as much as I would like to be. I would love to have more experience working intergender matches. And whenever I have, it's always been a positive experience. I actually ended up, the last show I worked for Danny, his Winnipeg shot in July here. It was a lethal lottery kind of stipulation. So everybody on the card, their name went into a bucket. Okay. And then at the beginning of the show, someone went out into the crowd and then fans drew.
Oh, wow. Names. So this was like a shoot lethal lottery.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. So you probably had like 5 minutes to put your match together, if that.
Dude, not even like.
Oh, really? Oh, like, so you're in the ring and then they're just like, oh, your opponent is so-and-so.
Wow. Right? Like, person's name gets called, they go to the ring. Second person's name gets called, they go to the ring, they do the wrestle.
How did you find doing that? Like, how do you find working a match with zero preparation?
See, honestly, I pushed myself to do it. I was terrified to do it, but I knew it was something. It was an uncomfortable situation I needed to put myself in to be able to grow out of it, because I find a lot of my problems is not going on the fly and talking about too much.
Yeah.
And the wheels of the mind spinning, and you know, things get lost and confused, and that has led to a lot of problems in my career that I'm still struggling with. So yeah, going on the fly and just talking very little is something I would like to do more of. So as much as it scared me, I was like, I'm gonna do this show and it's gonna be okay. And I actually was the fourth person drawn, so I was in the second match and I wrestled Rob Stardom. And it was a pretty solid match. Like, I had a lot of fun. I love working at Rookies. They're usually a pretty fun crowd. Again, maybe some sentimental attachments. Because why else would you like a dingy bar in Transcona?
That's I can kind of like relate to you. Like, I have not been wrestling as long as you. I think last weekend I had the 50th match of my entire career, right?
Here we go.
But like, I've recently been embroiled in a feud with Dead Zone, and I'm not trying to kill the magic or whatever, or pull back the curtain too much, but he doesn't like to plan anything, like nothing. He's like, oh, we know what the finish is. Let's go out there and wrestle. And like, to me, like somebody that's like not been in that situation, like you say, it was terrifying the first time we did it.
Word.
I was like, oh boy. And like, there is still like, I go back and I watch the two matches I had with him where we did it that way. And there's times where I can tell, okay, I'm watching myself and I'm like, okay, clearly I am looking for a signal from him. Like, what should I do next? And he's not giving me one. So I'm just going to try and do something like that sort of thing happened a bit. And I mean, I thought it was, you know, somewhat a bit clunky, but not overly horrible. And it's a skill I do enjoy, like, and I'm trying to learn more of, because like with my improv, like I have a background in improv comedy.
Sweet.
And just putting scenes together and stuff. And I think that like, if it is something I keep practicing at, I actually probably will get pretty decent at it, you know? But like, it's one of those things where, yeah, when he first did that to me, I was like, oh my God, like this has the potential to be like a complete train wreck. And like, when I say complete train wreck, I don't mean just like, oh, a bad match. I mean like somebody could get fucking hurt,
like,
or it could go completely off the rails and be beyond bad to the point where it's like, oh, we're breaking character out there so we can try and put it back together, you know. But that never happened, and it was cool, and it actually gave me the opportunity, because normally as the Greenhorn guy, I'm out there following and just like, I'm just basically doing what I'm told to do. But in that situation, it's like, there's got to be some give and take. So like, there was opportunities for me to like, just like, oh, I'll give him an arm drag right now. Or, you know, oh, I'm going to hit him. And it's just like, I have to make the call and he has to respond just as much as I have to respond to what he's doing. You know what I mean?
For sure. There's so much opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
And I sometimes get so wrapped up in like, oh, this spot or this thing, or trying to just things I'd be thinking in my head, when I really just want to be engaged and work the people. And because you could have this whole crazy thing all set up, but like, if they don't care, you gotta like be listening to them and change it anyway. And like, you gotta give them time to react. And like, there's just so many things, like, and it's just like, I've just always worked people who want to kind of talk a lot, and it's just like, I'm trying to find a way to get away from that a little bit, because I just think it's the best case scenario for something more organic and reaction inducing. And that's what we're out there for, brother.
Yeah. And I mean, typically I don't like to do like move for move for move for move. But what I kind of like to do is I kind of like to have, okay, what are we going to do at the start? Like, what's the shine, then the cutoff, and then the heat, I'm fine. Like, okay, I don't even need to know what you're going to do in your heat. Like, just beat me up for a while. If you want to do a move, tell me you're going to do that move on me, yeah. Then do the move while we're in the ring and like completely improvise the whole heat. That's absolutely fine. And then yeah. I need to know at what point does that end? And then we continue on from there with the plan, right? Like, that's what I've normally done. So right. When it was like, it was just like, okay, instead of it just being the heat is the only thing we're improvising, we're doing the whole match improvised.
There you go.
And yeah, it was when you break it down and you know, try to put it into those, like, you know, your steps of a match and stuff. It
yeah, formula.
Yeah, it kind of works. Anyway, let's get along with that, because that's very inside baseball kind of shit. We have been going for just about an hour now. I just wanted to ask, is there any other really cool like stuff that I should ask you about before we get off here?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. On the other end of the spectrum, I like I say, I announced that I was going to do Women of Wrestling Month back like about a month ago.
Yep.
And at that time, it seemed like a really great idea. And then there was this big, like, speaking out movement on Twitter, and I got super nervous about it. And I'm not going to ask you if you have any, like, stories and you want to bury anyone on my podcast or anything. If you do, then, you know, by all means, like, I'm not going to tell you what to say or not. But I just wanted to get your general thoughts on the whole speaking out movement, what your opinion of it is and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure, brother. It honestly is kind of crazy. I'm not much of an interwebber. Like, I have social media platforms and I have accounts, but I don't go on them. So I didn't even really know this whole thing was happening until somebody from my wrestling fam back home kind of privied me up to some things that were happening. Just kind of more generalized. And then just kind of through that and kind of having my eyes opened up to kind of the whole thing that was happening, I just can't believe some of the things that are coming out. And I don't know, I kind of have such mixed emotions on it. And another thing that makes me think, like, how have I been involved in wrestling for like 6 years and nobody has ever tried to fuck with me?
Well, I mean, I'm happy to hear that nobody's tried to fuck with you. Like, that's good.
I am too. It just makes me so, I don't know, disheartened and disappointed that this whole brotherhood and just family that is, like, indie pro wrestling and just pro wrestling in general, I guess, that there could just be these terrible things happening.
Yeah.
That, like, it's just... Yeah, it really kind of breaks me up. But
while it does make the business look kind of like shady and bad in general, I do think it's a good thing, just because these people that are doing this kind of shit, they're not going to be removed from our business and no longer a part of it unless somebody calls them out, you know? And I think that also, like, definitely, like, It's weird, because it's like, you know, I've read some stories where it's like, oh, this person like grabbed me or groped me or raped me, and it's like, okay, that's horrible, and fuck that guy. He should, like, I don't want to share a locker room with him,
right? You
know? And then there's other stories I've heard, like, where, oh, you know, the guy asked me out on a date or asked me if I wanted to go up to his hotel room, and it's like, that's a little less, like, you know, where I'm like, you know, like, I understand maybe it's not cool for people to, you know what I'm trying to say? Is,
yeah,
like,
I think that's why I'm so...
There needs to be a place where we're kind of drawing the line. But, like, at the same time, like, if you felt like it was inappropriate and whatnot, you know, say something to that person, but maybe they don't necessarily deserve to be like blackballed from the business, or you know what I mean?
And that's why I kind of have such a hard time coming to, like, I don't know, like I said, I'm so back and forth and I can see it from so many different angles, and I try to put myself in different perspectives, from different people's kind of points of views and whatnot. And I can see, and there's so many varying degrees of like people being offended and the different severity of said alleged offenses. And there's just so many things involved with this whole speaking out movement. That's like, some things are so far in the past that it almost gives me that like, well, why are you coming out and saying stuff online 10 years later? And I can see it from all points. Like maybe, you know, it's so hard to even speak about, because I only know about my own personal experiences and how I would react and how I would feel 100%. From experience. I can't say like somebody, like I can't diminish or like, excuse or look past somebody else's experience or how they feel about it. And I don't want to discredit anything. But it's just like, if it happened so long ago, what is the point of bringing it up now? It's like, I don't know, maybe it's a fault, but I always like to try to see the best in people. Like, yeah. If you personally wrong me, then yeah, I'm probably, after a few times, then I'll learn my lesson and I'll probably stay away from you. But no, there's just, like I said, it's so hard to kind of come to a common ground with how I feel about it, because there's so many varying degrees of, like I said, those things that have alleged to have happened. And yeah, I can kind of see it from everybody's point. Like, is it worth coming out online and ruining someone's career over? Or like, there's just, oh my gosh, I could talk for a whole other hour on this one subject, friend.
Yeah, I like, and like I say, I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to give anyone a pass by like saying what I like said about that or whatever, but it's like, you know, like, I just like to, it's a weird thing for me, because it's like, it's none of my fucking business unless it's something that's involving me, right? So I kind of just don't want to be involved at all. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm friends, like I would consider you and I to be like sort of friendly acquaintances, and then me and Zoe are friends, and me and Taryn are friends. And like, if somebody did like something super shitty to any of you guys, it'd be like, yeah, I don't want to be in the locker room with this guy. I don't want him on our shows. Like, fuck him if he's gonna be awful. But like,
that's a part that kind of chokes me up, is like some shady things that have happened and some unpleasant things, and maybe people are a little on the shitty side, but they're still being given a place in our business. That kind of like grinds my gears a little bit. But again, like, it is what it is. Like, there's things about any endeavor or any business or anything that you involve yourself in that are probably going to be unpleasant, and it's not going to be sunshine, rainbows and puppies every day, all day long. But it's just like that kind of, I don't know, hurts my heart a little bit that people could either be shady and just play people senselessly, and just like, and then if not, maybe pull the brother route and see things happening and knowing that it's probably not right and they should probably do something about it. Or I don't know. See, and that's the thing. It's so hard unless you're actually in a specific situation to say really anything.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's, I mean, like, yeah, I get where you're coming from. Like the whole brother thing. Like, I mean, guys will, you'll be on road trips with people and they'll make their braggadocious claims and stuff, and you just kind of roll your eyes. But like, I think if 2020 has taught us anything, and it's not just about the speaking out movement, but like the systemic racism and stuff, like if there's one thing we can learn from this year, it's just don't be a shitty person. It's easy not to be. So like, just don't be, and bad things won't happen to you, and bad things won't happen to the people that, like, don't do bad things to other people, and bad things probably won't happen to you. It's easy not to be shitty. It's easy not to be racist. It's easy not to fucking sexually assault or make inappropriate like actions towards people. Right. So just don't
do it.
Yeah.
Isn't it so crazy? Because like I said, it's just crazy that I've been in wrestling for so long and I've never had any experience like that. I don't know if it's just because I am thought of as so much of like one of the boys that just people won't mess with me because they know I'd like punch them in the mouth, or I wouldn't stand for it, or I'd have the rest of the locker room to kind of back me up. Because like, I just, I don't know, people just must know I'm not going to take anybody's shit. Yeah, but at the same time, like, I don't know, I've definitely made some poor decisions. And but yeah, I won't go down that road with you.
No, I mean, we don't need to talk about it on the podcast here. Yeah, so like, let's just like, let's that be the lesson for 2020. Don't be a piece of shit.
Don't be a piece of shit.
It's easy. Alrighty, Alex, it was wonderful to have you on Monday Night Shaw. I hate to close it out on a negative vibe like that. What is your? I'm gonna ask you one more question, just okay, so we don't have to close it out like that. And this is a one that Spencer hit me with. But who are the top three people that you'd like to face in a match?
Like ever?
Nah, let's keep it to like Alberta people, because like obviously, like, you know, Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks, like, of course, like, you want to wrestle the top people in WWE, of course. But like, what about like just like Alberta? And it doesn't have to be limited to women. You can talk about intergender matches.
I was gonna say, like, pretty much the thing coming to mind was some dudes, some brothers.
Solid. Let's hear it.
In Alberta specifically, because I work in Winnipeg so much too, so it's like, can I have
give me three from Winnipeg and three from Alberta.
Ooh, three and three. Alberta. I feel like having a match with Nasty Nate could be fun.
I agree with you. I would like to wrestle Nasty Nate. I think that the incredibly slimy, cocky heel of Nasty Nate versus, you know, the Canadian Goose would be easy and fun.
Great. That'd be fun. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
And I think that him wrestling you would be good too, because, like, just like a cocky big dude like that facing, you know, like the underdog story, right? Like, it's that's what it is for me too. It's an underdog story. So I think that'd be great. Who are two more from Alberta that you'd like to face?
From Alberta. I'd probably say, like, I don't actually think I might have only wrestled Angelica in a single once. So maybe going one-on-one with her, I'd say again, but like I said, I'm blanking kind of on the fly. If we've ever had just a straight up singles, I think we might've had one. Just, I feel like she has so much experience and I just feel like we could make something pretty cool. So I'll give some love to some of the ladies. But yeah, somebody else from Alberta, the cheetah bear, Jude Dawkins.
Oh, that'd be solid.
Right?
I really like the cheetah bear. I wish that he was around more.
Me too. Yes. Okay. So Winnipeg, Mentalo.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic.
Mentalo, AJ Sanchez, and I almost want to say Danny for number three, but I'm just thinking, I'm like, I think maybe the third would be like maybe a toss up between Danny and the Boston Bruiser, Kevin O'Doyle.
Okay, all right. I've met all those guys. They've come in for RCW a couple of times, and they're all fantastic dudes. I really like AJ Sanchez. He's a solid guy.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
Like, Danny kind of intimidates me because he's like the promoter. So like, he doesn't intimidate me like on purpose, but like when I walk up to him, I'm always like, "Oh, hi, I'm Kyle." You know, as opposed to, "Hey, bud, how's it going?" You know, like,
right?
Yeah, no, I agree with all those choices. Have you ever wrestled or seen this guy called Wildman Furpo?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I just worked the show with him in Winnipeg.
You've worked him?
No, I worked the show with him. Like, we were on the card together.
Okay.
He was in the Lethal Lottery as well. He does most of the rookie shows for Danny in Winnipeg there. So, yes, I have heard of him. He is a hoot.
Yeah, he, like, I was watching some of his stuff on YouTube because I was booked to do a show in Winnipeg on August the 22nd for a Christian Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
And originally they had told me I was going to be wrestling with Wild Man Furpo. So I didn't know who he was, so I looked it up and I started watching some of his tapes. And yeah, people, look that up, because meet the Canadian Goose versus Wild Man Furpo, I think would have been like absolutely hilarious.
Right? I was going to say, yeah. That needs.
Hilarious would be a good way to describe it. Unfortunately, from what I've heard, he's not going to be on the show anymore. He's like pulled out or whatnot. So I'm probably going to be ended up wrestling with Steven Styles, or with I'm hoping I've put in like a little bug in the guy's ear to say, hey, what about the Canadian Goose versus Jack Pryde? That might be pretty.
There you go.
You know, because I know Pryde's going, and I know I'm also like. I'm getting my hands on Steven to this Saturday night in the first ever in the history of professional wrestling Baconator on a pole match. So that should also hopefully be pretty entertaining.
Dang, I wish I would have thought of Pride for my Alberta list. He'd have been right up there. He's solid.
He's a great dude. I had him on the podcast here just like a week ago or whatever. And yeah, so he's,
check that one out.
One of my favorite people.
Heck yeah.
Okay, well, this has been Monday Night Shaw on the Wing Column Sports Network. I'm Kyle Shaw, the Canadian Goose, and I want to thank my guest this week, the Masterpiece of the East, Alex Swigger. How did you get that name, the Masterpiece of the East? Did you come up with that yourself?
I wish I could take credit for that, but that's a little Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, baby.
Okay, well, we'll have to save that story for the next podcast that we do together, because I don't know who Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five are.
Oh, I will teach you everything.
Solid. Look forward to that educational podcast the next time that Alex joins me on Monday Night Shaw. Alex, thank you so much, and I will talk to you again.
Thank you so much, pal. Thanks for having me. Stay fresh, everybody. NBC, and you'll have found the stopping grounds of all my friends and me. And you'll have found the stopping grounds of all my friends and me. Just take a little piece of